was all a dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 496. You like
getting
that?
There.
You like
getting
that?
There. Second, you had to check, right?
I did, but now something weird. Last week's podcast didn't go up onto iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever it is, so I do apologize. I don't know why. I didn't do anything different other than I did change the opening music. That's the only thing I changed, and I wonder if that played something into it.
So you're saying we're down a couple thousand downloads?
Oh, easy, easy, yeah. So if you were looking for it, it's not there. But it is
we've
on the website.
496 episodes. I'd be shocked if we've hit 1,000.
Oh, that's not true. I get people commenting all the time.
Yeah, like, why do you still do this? Yeah,
but it is available.
What's wrong with you people?
Why am I still listening?
Why am I? But it is available on the website if you want to listen. So hopefully this one goes up. We'll see. I'm going to revert back to the original music. Decide to have fun and do the do you want to taste it music, but something went wonky.
Yeah.
So.
We were going to learn to dance and everything.
We were, but not
Dave
now.
Dave was going to be Peacemaker.
Yep, not now.
Spencer was going to be Judo Master. Eagly would have been good.
You were doing the Eagly right there, yeah.
The 500th episode.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's yeah. We'll do a video for that. Colin, of course, is John Economos. Dyebeard over there. Now he's going to cry.
I am. Did we do? No. So I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Spencer,
Pat,
Dave.
You got to keep track of this.
I couldn't remember if we'd done that yet or not. I'm sorry. I lost my way.
Our job is to sidetrack you. Your job is to keep us on track.
One job is easier than the other.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
So we didn't get any questions today, which is fine.
Everybody wants to know anything.
Nope. Everyone has every question answered.
Well, since we don't have a question, I have a question.
Uh-oh.
Since this is, like, you know, the celebration, like, image, you know, month and, you know, mm-hmm. their anniversary, what, out of one of the big two titles, would you want to see get, like an image, like, redo kind of thing? Like, almost, you know, it almost kind of be like a black label, but, you know, you'd be able to do whatever you'd want. Like, is there any kind of character you'd want to see get, like, kind of like the image treatment? Just to see what it would be like?
For any, like, Marvel or DC book. Oh, you mean, okay, I see what you're saying.
I mean, when they did the Punisher Max series, it's kind of what that was.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange might be interesting.
Yeah, because you could really get into some weird and
some dark stuff. Yeah.
I got nothing.
Yeah, I can't think of anything off the top of my head here.
And like a Constantine. Well, they already have Black Label, but I mean, that started as a Vertigo book, so that was already.
Yeah, that's where its roots and stuff is. Same with, like, Swamp Thing and a lot of... Really, their whole kind of,
the dark universe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, all their magic stuff.
Yeah, maybe he's a tandem for DC along those same lines.
Moon Knight would be interesting.
Yeah. I mean, he's gotten dark even in his regular comic, but, yeah, that could be interesting. Yeah, I think Dave just wants to see Zatanna naked, and that's why he threw that out there. It's not enough to have Betty and Veronica. Now you gotta have Zatanna, too. We live in a modern age, Dave, where we don't have to objectify women.
Okay. I'll never learn. I'll never learn.
Nope.
So, yeah, I can't even think of any news. We have the Comics Pro meeting is the next 2 days. So hopefully I'll have more to talk about next week about anything, any goings on and stuff.
Any publishers actually going to show up?
All of them. It looks like everybody except for Image.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I don't know why Image isn't coming. They're too busy. I like Lunar is coming, but only taking pre-submitted questions. It's like, okay. Oh, my. They had a little kerfuffle on the retailer boards last week. Where
that's not a good sign.
And it just, it wasn't pretty. Just basic customer service skills were not present. So it's just like, not a good look.
And they're really going to argue that it's hard to keep people. And
well, it was the owner of the company responding to stuff. And it just said, the whole problem came down to a phone call would have fixed everything. But they insist on doing everything by email. And something happened where, like, the person didn't respond within 24 hours to the email, so they canceled their entire order because it was a problem where they didn't receive that week's books.
Mm.
And they were... And part of the problem is they have a minimum, so it's like a minimum, I don't know if it's a month or a week. They won't ship under a certain amount. So some smaller stores aren't hitting that minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of shipping it the next week, they just canceled the order. And they're like, no, I still need those books. But,
right. They still have people that have it on their pull list.
But you have nobody to talk to. You have to email a general email address.
And hope you get responded.
Like service@lunar.com or something like that. You know, something generic.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm reading through this stuff and... It's like, well, blah, you know, just the back and forth, and it was just like a phone call would have, you know. Yeah. But they don't have a published phone number, so it would have been up to Lunar to call. But when I log into my thing, it has name, store name, address, phone, you know. So they have
right.
all
you
of
have
our stuff, so it really would have just been on Lunar to call up and go, how can we fix, you know, but they just became very adversarial. Which is not a good look, you know, for when you're, you know, this is all going out in front of retailers. So, whatever. Hopefully they learn and move on from that. So, but, it's a weird meeting for me just because not running for re-election, so I'm not on the board anymore. Not that that's a big deal. I just couldn't figure out in this market... I don't have any answers. We're all hanging on right now, trying to figure out things best we can. Mm-hmm. Everything is constantly changing.
Yeah, see, well, you don't even have the questions that the right questions that you need to
right.
have the answers
right.
to the way everything's been going.
Well, it's funny. Last week we had a little thing, and Joe kind of he texted me. He's like, "Warning, I'm throwing you under the bus here," and so I knew it was coming. But I was like, you know, when I started, our biggest concern was those meet exceed variants Marvel was doing and how annoying they were and abusive it was, where you had to overorder just to get the book cover people want and stuff. And I'm like, my God, you know, now...
You wish you had that
yeah,
problem.
That's like meaningless. And my big thing is I just don't know how to fix anything or... Because I know, like, two members of the board or three, the executive director, too, is meeting with Penguin Random House either weekly or biweekly. Just to try to get them going in the right direction and everything. And I'm like, that's just what a waste of time that we didn't have before when it was just Diamond. Diamond knew what they were doing. Now, it's just, I mean, they keep changing. I'm glad they keep improving things. But, I mean, like, the last improvement they made was to their search function. Because before you'd put in a title and it would search everything with those words. Well, that's great, but, you know, you're searching Spider-Man Trade Paperback Volume 3, and it pulls up everything with the word spider in it, and not in any order, okay? And it's just like, oh, God, it was just, but I guess they've worked on that. And so it's like a lot of stuff is moving in the right direction, but it's just a lot of wasted time and effort
mm-hmm.
just to get back to where we were. And so trying to do anything, you know, new... And, you know, productive isn't happening. And the other thing for me was my big goal joining was to work with the publishers and find out, like, instead of meet exceed, what kind of numbers do you need and how can we figure out a way to get there? Or working with the smaller publishers of how can we help you, you know, promote your stuff, things like that. Now the small publishers can't even get printed. Like last week, I think we got every SourcePoint press book for the last 3 months, all shipped the same day. And sadly, right now, I don't think Marvel and DC even care.
And so it's just, it's tough right now. And trying to, you know, accomplish anything more, it's just putting out fires and trying to keep the, you know, the train on the track. So that's why I didn't step down. I just didn't run again because I'm like, let's get somebody else in there who might have more ideas than I do, because I do not have any ideas on how to fix this. I did couch it in the terms, basically, with the surgery and everything, I was out of commission for a good bit of the last 6 months of last year, and I need to focus on the store, which is true. Mm-hmm. But it's all, I could have done both. That's not a big thing. But I just don't have answers, and I just feel like I'm a passenger here. So let's let somebody come in and see if maybe they can come up with something. So, yeehaw. And plus, since the pandemic, I hadn't really felt I'd really done anything.
Well.
Right. No, but it's like, I'm on the board, but I'm not doing anything. So,
So it sounds like most politicians, you're all right.
It is, but and a couple people seem to keep running just for the sake of running. Like, they would never even join any discussions. And all our discussions were just on Facebook, Facebook group. So it's not like you had to go to a meeting or anything, and they just never even participated there. And I'm like, why are you here again? Why did you run again? I was really shocked that when they did. So I just didn't want to put myself, I didn't want to be one of those guys hanging on for undefinable reasons.
I've been to so many like council boards and commissioners meetings, and they're just people who've been on these boards forever and don't know when to.
Yeah, so I'm like, I was thinking about not running, and then when I got asked, I'm like, I can't justify. When I went in, when I did run, I had a goal and a position, and it just that world doesn't exist anymore. So,
yeah. But
I can't really think of any news. We just got the new previews, so.
So there's two titles got canceled, Suicide Squad and
Teen Titans.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they're going like into an event, and it's like, oh, whatever. Teen Titans, I mean, it just really never found its footing.
Yeah, it had like a decent premise, but yeah, it just, I don't know.
Suicide Squad, I don't know. The Tom Taylor one I thought was really good, and then this one, when it had Peacemaker in it, was like, okay, this feels almost corporate mandated. And it might have been good. I didn't keep up with it.
Do they draw him to look like John Cena now?
That I don't know. But it started.
He wouldn't know. He can't see him.
That's true.
Yeah.
It came out right after the movie, so.
Which I was asking Tim, do you know, is like the next issue of Green Lantern, is that the last issue?
I hope so. Because, I don't know.
Because like,
it finally dropped to single digits for me, which for Green Lantern is not good.
Well, like, because I just flipped through the DC order, okay, and I couldn't see it, and I haven't seen that, and I don't think I've seen it for a couple months. Yeah, so I don't know if it was going on like a hiatus or if it was, well, it would just come back as a new number.
Yeah, well, I know Tom King's working on a Green Lantern book. I don't know if it's mainstream or something else. Not mainstream, but the main book or special things.
Yeah. Black Label.
Yeah, or not even just Black Label, but, like, I don't... Is Human Target Black Label? I don't know. Is it? Is. Okay. But,
even though, like, he did, like, Rorschach was Black Label, but, like, Curses were still, like, blanked out and stuff like that. I thought that was kind of weird, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wow. Troy Aikman joining Monday Night Football on ESPN. Crazy.
Oh.
Hopefully he gets away from Joe Buck.
Yes.
And not,
they've been
put Joe Buck and Chris Collinsworth together. That'd be perfect. And we could just mute. Sorry.
He's the Hall of Famer. Every time they refer to him, Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, which one?
Aikman.
Not Collinsworth. So, yeah, that's all I got as far as news and stuff. So, who wants to start talking about books?
I'll start.
I have a really cool plan that I want to do.
Okay.
And I'm just, I'm short of two things. And it's...
time and money?
Time and energy. But hopefully I'll get it going soon here. But it's a really neat idea, and I don't want to tell anybody about it. Like other stores, I don't want anybody taking my...
Tell us off the air.
I will. I will. Because I think it's a pretty cool,
okay,
cool idea. I think so.
I'll start then. My dad.
Yep.
It had a monkey on the cover.
Acid Monkey. Acid Monkey is awesome. Except for they take away all his acid.
Yeah, that's probably not good.
Yeah, well, then he goes to the store, and they think they're going to cheat him, and they give him water, and he goes to throw it on Emperor King and the guy that he had in his torture pod.
Rush Hour.
Mm-hmm. And it was just water. So Acid Monkey was pissed off and went back and was like beating the hell out of the guy in the acid store. But
he writes a note. Acid Monkey need
okay to sell Acid Monkey acid.
Yeah.
But so the best part of the book, it starts off, you know, black page with a bunch of words. It's a quote from Socrates. It's actually the opening lines of Power of Love by Huey Lewis in the News. Great.
That was fall down funny.
And then, so you get in there, and you know, Chandelier's doing his thing, and he runs into the bad guy that he's fighting is Lionel Richie. And, of course, he's making, he can beat him up all night long. And then when he knocks on the door, hello, is it me you're looking for? This book is just stupid funny. But it was, I enjoyed it. And of course, Chandelier now has a submarine, and he like turned down saving people because he's like, can I use my submarine? No? Well, it's not really worth it then.
Yeah, he just wants to drive his new submarine.
Yeah.
So great.
This book is way better than it should be. Because it should be like, okay, this is stupid, and this joke has run its course. But every month he comes up with something different, like the Socrates thing, or Lionel Richie makes me go, well, I gotta get the next issue to see where he goes. So, Mark Russell. He's looking to be the best writer of 2022, yeah, as he was 2021.
Yeah.
Maniac in New York, Bronx is Burning. Yeah. Okay.
I think it wasn't them, Mike. Wasn't Mike?
Yeah, there. Mike's reading it. So the police go to storm the school where Maniac Harry is, and he gets away and he runs off. And he makes his way to the reason why there's so much traffic in the Bronx. Opening day.
Because Rush Hour is trapped. Oh, I'm sorry. No. Wrong book.
Opening day of Yankee Stadium. So he finds his way to Yankee Stadium, and so there's, you know, they're showing where he's slaughtering people as the national anthem is being sung, and then he kind of goes out like to the mezzanine and sees all the people. So looks like it's, you know, gonna be a bigger bloodbath.
Oh my.
Detective Comics.
Yep.
So I actually read three,
yeah,
so I may have
mixed
some of these up. But we have Psycho Pirate. And here's where I think I may have mixed it up. So, two issues ago, he kind of collapsed, like, just out of exhaustion, and that's when the riot started.
Yeah. That or he was having, it was making him go crazy, that it was making like them go, like you know,
okay,
what I mean? Either, you know.
See, I just kind of took it as like he collapsed from exhaustion because he's like holding them together,
yeah,
at all times. But so the guy that's working with him, he has to go to the Penguin to get a loan in order to pay off his goons, which are the party crashers, who are kind of moving the drugs for him. But there keeps being problems with the drugs where they're not effective.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Penguin's like, well, you know, you got to cover my losses, and if this happens again, you know, I'll skin you and your family.
Yeah.
And
Well, he's still trying to hold it together to get the payday from the state for,
right,
Occam, because the plan is just to take all that money and then just
and,
leave.
And bolt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So what I've really been liking, though, and the story is good, but I really have liked the backup story, the House of Gotham. The kid who was in Arkham got taken by the Penguin, and you know, he turned on the Penguin, and then Bane broke him out of Arkham and made him fight Victor Zsasz.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, I'm interested to see, like, if, because, like, it seems like this is still, like, it seems like it's, you know, like, early in Batman's career.
But I don't think it is, because you have Bane in Arkham, Clayface in Arkham, Zsasz is in Arkham. I don't think Harley was.
Because he was whenever he fought the Robin, it was Jason, right?
Right, because he makes a comment, you used to be older than me, and now you're younger than me.
Yeah.
And he says to the cops when he gets arrested, you know, don't get me. Batman's making an army of kids. Don't get him.
Yeah, so that's what I'm interested in, if, like, this kid's going to be somebody, like, you know what I mean, new. Like, if this is just, you know, trying to build up as a new... you know, a new villain, or if they just wanted to take this, see what, you know, just tell the story of this kid who basically runs through all of Batman's rogue gallery.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the weird thing, too, because, you know, Batman's timeline is really odd.
Yeah.
Because you have, he becomes Batman, he's Batman for a few years, or, you know, for some period of time, he gets Dick Grayson. Dick Grayson grows up, stops being Robin. He gets Jason Todd. Jason Todd dies, but Jason Todd grows up. You know, so like...
Yeah, somehow he grows, like, up while he's dead. Well, he comes back in with the ladder's pit and all that stuff, but yeah.
Right, but I mean, like, clearly, you know...
And then there was a time period
Batman
before
aged
nobody...
2 years, in the time it should have been 15 years.
Yeah. Well, they tried to, they've been trying to fix that, as saying, like, whenever, like, because if you notice, like, when they go back, a lot of times with, like, Dick Grayson, instead of being, like, an 8-year-old, he's, like, 13. Or, like, you know what I mean? They try to have him almost be kind of...
a little bit older.
Yeah. To try to help with the timeline, but...
But it's noticeable, because it's still, I mean, it's still been, you know, 10, 15 years, but they act like he's only been around for, like, 5.
Yeah.
And Nightwing.
Yeah.
Read that?
Yep.
Yeah,
I know.
That's surprising. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It starts off with a story that would have had to have taken place in New 52 based on the costume.
Yeah, because he had the red.
He had the red costume. Where John went flying at night, got lost, and the whole Justice League was out looking for him. And then, you know, John, of course, you know, so jumps to the future, or, you know, the present day, if you will, and Kelix comes to see Dick, wakes him up in the middle of the night, and of course Barb is there too, and basically said John needs his help because he can't talk to the hologram version of Superman. So
did you notice how Bob had a Teen Titans Go shirt on,
and Dick had Batman pajamas on?
But what I liked when they did the first part of the story in the past. John goes, he's hiding in a cave, and they go and they find him. And, you know, he shoots his laser beams at him because, you know, he's hiding in a cave, and this big bat guy comes into the cave. He scares, so he pulls off his, you know, Nightwing takes off his mask, pulls off Batman's mask, and goes and gives him a lollipop that Batman keeps in his utility belt next to the gas,
the smoke bombs.
The smoke bombs and stuff.
Which apparently are shaped just like the candy.
Yeah, so, and are the same weight and size and stuff like that, and I thought that was a, like a cool little just a show like Dick Grayson's, like, you know, like his personality and stuff like that. I thought that was a cool character moment.
But what's going on is someone is killing lesser known Teen Titans, yeah. I'll put it that way. I wouldn't call them C-listers, mm-hmm. more like D-list Teen Titans. But they're
the cleansing or something, or the they were saying something, like, I can't remember what it was.
But like what they notice is whoever they are, they can fly because they're not. No one was on the ground other than the victim.
Yeah, because Nightwing had a cool like of trying to show like talking John a way to use his powers as like a way to, you know,
detective work. Basically. Yeah, yeah.
So you don't know why they're being killed yet.
No, this is the start of an arc. Okay. So. Okay. We don't know why it's happening. Just that it's happening.
So you know this is tying into the like the next issue of the of Superboy or the Superman title.
Yeah. Which I wish they just would have left John a kid.
Yeah. Well, like, in this, like, it's not even like he's a teenager. It's almost like
no, he's
like,
a grown-ass man.
Yeah, like, I thought when he came back, he was the first to be, like, because he was always, like, a little younger than Damian, you know. Right. It should have made him just, like, a little bit older than Damian, like, you know. Right. Yeah, but, yeah, he's, like, he looks like he's in his 20s, like.
Yes. And I liked the dynamic with him and Damian. It was, you know, big brother, little brother type thing.
Yeah.
And I wish they just would have left that alone. Because that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's what I read.
You can go, Dave.
Okay. Fantastic Four.
I read that.
Number 40.
I read that.
This is the...
Man, you don't read any of my books.
No.
You don't have Dave's books.
No, that's correct.
What's that old guy kind of...
This is the Reckoning War...
Yep.
...storyline... Earth's moon has been destroyed.
No then big we would deal. All be dead.
No big deal.
No, no big deal.
Well, no, they
and
brought,
Reed, yeah, and Reed knows everything.
And Reed knows everything.
Well, they brought that up in the thing, because like, somebody was like, well, the moon's gone. Shouldn't we be like, oh, well, no, it would just make this so we'd have no tides.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know if I'm, you know, I'm no scientist, but I don't know if that's how that works.
But then they said, oh, we'll just make a new moon. And the first thing that went into my through my head was...
Death Star?
That's no moon. Oh. Yeah. Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Well, you kind of did.
I did. I just didn't take it to Death Star. I just had the... That's no moon.
So Reed has all the knowledge of the Watchers. And he had comes up with all these plans for the heroes of Earth.
And very, like... cut and dry, like...
Yeah.
Some of you guys might not make it, but that's okay.
Yeah. And Sue's really worried about him. And then...
They seemed to power up Franklin, wasn't he? You know, like in Earth X, he was like uber powerful.
Yeah. He used all his powers. He's powerless.
Yeah.
And then
Reed should be able to figure that out, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's like Johnny wanted him to fix him. He's like, no,
yeah.
Which
can't fix you. You're my biggest weapon right now.
Yeah. Which, though, I felt like at the time, though, that was kind of a jerk move on Johnny's in the middle of all that to be like, hey, can you take a minute? And, like, you know what I mean? Like, I felt like that was kind of unfair, too. But yeah, like that, like I was saying, like, just things that are just like, nah, not going to help.
And then Surfer showed up and showed him everything he learned from Eternity dying or... Whatever was going on, that thing.
Yeah, all the wars breaking out everywhere.
And then they realized that only some of them mattered.
Some of them mattered, and
some
Reed
were just distractions.
We have to go to Shi'ar space and protect this crystal.
The Emkron.
I haven't heard that before.
Oh, that's from Age of Apocalypse.
Oh,
it was the first time I heard about that. The Gambit
that.
And the Externals were in charge of stealing the Emkron crystal.
Okay.
But yes. So, it's a nexus of reality.
Right.
Not like the one where Man-Thing was.
Yeah.
It's a different one.
Yeah, Johnny's my buddy Man-Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... What's it next? So they go there and, it's Reed, Thing, She-Hulk.
Nick Fury.
Jack of Hearts.
I don't know how Jack of Hearts fit in with any of this. They didn't. It's like he and what's her name are dating. When did that start?
Yeah, because
even in her own book, they weren't dating. He showed up and died in the first issue or something. Yeah, that was weird.
They get there, and I think that was the Starjammers. Was that the Starjammers? Mm-mm. They were.
No, it was the Shi'ar.
The Imperial Guard,
who was basically like the Justice League. Yeah. And they'd all been wiped out by these two people who, like, somebody knew She-Hulk knew or something. Yeah, they had two funky names.
One of them was, the one person there was Rapture.
That's it.
From a previous issue when Ben saw all these...
Now, it was weird because they gave all those little notes as seen in Fantastic Four 25. Yeah. That's going to come up in a different book. So that I thought that was interesting that all those notes were there, which was great, so you could go back and find it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's not looking good. Like these two people are going to wipe them out.
Yeah, yeah. So it was a good issue.
And then Reed says that I only have, 3 days to live or something?
Yeah.
Because of the knowledge was making his head explode.
Yeah.
But he could just be like Ultimate Reed and just make his head bigger.
Yeah, he'd expand your brain. Yeah. I mean, the Watcher does have a pretty big head.
He's got a huge head.
So.
Oh, and then the Watchers had their clarion call or whatever.
Uatu goes back to...
Yeah.
It's like a weird name for that. I don't know if that Planet X...
Yeah.
...something.
And one of them got tortured to death, the Silent Watcher.
Yeah.
By whoever random big bad guy is.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Watchers all came together.
Yeah. Next.
You gotta have a watch party.
You do, yes.
X-Men?
Yeah, right there.
Number 8. This is the MODOK issue.
Yep.
Villains MODOK. And he's poisoning the water supply on this cruise ship. So all the vacationers go mad.
Yeah, kind of like Ray Zombies, kind of, is what I kind of got the feel of.
So the X-Men are called in. Well, they see someone was live streaming this going on, and they saw that, and they decide to go in to help.
Yeah.
And Sink and Wolverine, X-23,
are working
Wolverine.
You don't want to get you canceled, Dave. She's Wolverine.
Oh, she's Wolverine, but I have to differentiate.
No, there's one Wolverine. Or there's multiple Wolverines. You can't.
Okay. Ugh, I'm so sexist.
Yeah, jeez, you're going to get us canceled, Dave.
Yeah, but Sink.
And then whatever Cyclops is going as.
Captain Krakoa.
Yeah.
So, Sink is preoccupied because he's in love with Wolverine.
Yeah, because they spent like hundreds of years.
Yeah, they were hundreds of years in the vault.
Yeah.
But do you understand what? It's not the same Wolverine, right?
Well, because
what happened?
She ended up dying, and so she got resurrected.
Okay.
But since she died in the vault, they couldn't take her memories.
Right.
But he survived, I think he died, I think he got right out of the vault and then died, so he had the memory, so he remembers, but she doesn't remember, but apparently she can tell that there was something, because they were having that conversation.
So, right. So that makes the relationship, potential relationship tough on Sink. Then there's a weird part where Sink puts Captain Krakoa, who is Cyclops, into MODOK's mind, and they have a talk.
Yeah, and he's barbecuing.
And he's barbecuing behind his house, talking about why he loves to do all this horrible stuff to people.
For science.
Yeah, for science, exactly. It's all for science. And then we get the end of this, where Sink has a conversation with Captain Krakoa.
Yeah, with the back at the treehouse.
Back at the treehouse. and he confesses that he's the one who wiped
Ben.
The mind of Ben Urich.
And took his notebook.
And Ben wasn't writing a hit piece at all. He thought this was like a miracle.
Yeah.
So because of that, Sink, he can't live with himself that he did this.
Yeah, so I think he kind of wants off the team, it seems like.
So he wants off the X-Men, but it doesn't sound like Captain Kirko is going to let him.
Well, I mean, if every member of the X-Men left at any time they'd done anything questionable, you wouldn't have anybody on the X-Men. I mean...
Seriously. Yeah, exactly.
But I've definitely been digging this series better to the previous series. There's, like, actual, like, a storyline and an arc going on, and it's, they're not fighting old ladies that like the plant.
Horticulture, you mean?
Yeah. Pardon me. Dumb story.
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah, they're doing a good job.
Yeah, I think he's doing, with what they handed him, a pretty decent job. Yeah. If we could just do something about all those other X-Men books.
I know, there's so many of them. Lastly, I read G.I. Joe.
Oh.
Saturday Morning Adventures.
So are these, like, old G.I. Joe? Like, are they, like, the cartoon, or, like, do they look like... Like the old, like, comics
exactly
or stuff?
It looks exactly like the cartoon.
Nice.
Is it nice and corny like the old cartoon?
This is so... This issue, which we'll hear about, is so dumb. But it was fantastic.
Okay.
It was fantastic. Story starts at Cobra Temple. I think they said somewhere in the Pacific. And... Zartan has brought back this, like, gold container for Cobra Commander. So what does Cobra Commander do? He just shoots it, destroys it, and inside is Aladdin's lamp.
Okay.
Now, do they call it Aladdin's lamp? Yes. Just like, that's a genie lamp.
Cobra Commander knows this is the lamp of Aladdin. He calls it the lamp of Aladdin. And the genie comes out... It says, Cobra Commander, you have 3 wishes.
And he still screws up.
No, is the genie, like, blue and have a goatee and everything?
Yes, I think he does.
Of course.
But he can't wish
for... Surprised Disney let that happen.
Cobra Commander wants to wish for world domination, but genie tells him he can't wish for, like, dominion over the hearts and minds of people. So instead, he wishes for a unit of the giant... the bats, what are those called?
Battle Android Troopers.
So he wishes for like a bunch of those, a unit.
Which he already had.
But
he has more now.
He sets those off. One of them goes to the pit to destroy the pit in the Joes. So there's a battle, and they finally figure out how to get one down. They destroy the leg, and it catches on fire.
Okay.
And this, falls down like an AT-AT. The news gets back to Cobra Commander, and he's like, I'm gonna wish for more of these. I'm gonna wish for more bats. And Destro and Baroness, they kind of talk him out of it. But it's by telling him Destro invented some kind of force field. So let's just put the force fields around the legs. And they'll be unstoppable. So Cobra Commander, he goes along with that. So meanwhile, the Joes, they're trying to figure out like where Cobra has been manufacturing these giant androids, unaware that they were created by a genie. And then Cobra Commander, he takes to the airwaves, and he says, "We're going to deploy all these androids at Paris, Washington D.C., and Tokyo, unless you give me $1 billion, unless the governments of the world give me $1 billion."
Why doesn't he just push for $1 billion?
Because this is Cobra Commander we're talking about.
Because he has at least one more wish, right?
He has two more wishes left.
Oh, he's only used one?
I think he just used the one. He got talked out of. He got talked out.
Oh, yeah.
Wishing for more bats.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's also a one-page public service announcement.
So, like, is this like a, is there another issue of this storyline? Is it not like a one-off?
Yeah. Apparently, it's gonna. I would just expect it to continue.
So I'm interested to see if with the third wish, if he sets the genie free or not.
Pretty sure Cobra Commander's not setting the genie free.
I don't know. Maybe by the end he learns something and he changes.
But it was dumb, but it was like it was perfect.
Yeah,
it was perfect. And like there's a one page public service announcement of a kid who's trolling online, and then I don't know, Roadblock or somebody tells him not to troll.
Okay.
And I'm forgetting the tagline at the end. I'm sorry.
Now you know, and now you have to battle.
Half the battle. It was a lot of fun. That's all I got. Go ahead, Spence.
Crimson Cage number 3. We're still just kind of following the, Chuck, the new champion who got the champion after, the previous champion, killing the previous champion, so it's more him just trying to deal and handle with like the prophecy that you know that they that you know that was told before for this and so there's like he's even he has a tag team match with his best friend and like his son who they're bringing up, so they like they go and try to make the son look good and stuff like that. And once his friend and the son they go and because you know they still have to drive from show to show, so they're driving to the next town. And this there's this figure out in the road, and so the friend tells his son to leave because he knows that this is the prophecy of, like, whenever, because his prophecy was that he would never be champion, but he would, start a line of, like, the, one of the greatest, lineage of, like, champions in, like, you know, in the history of wrestling. So he tells his son to go and run for it, and he stays there, and he goes and tries to talk to him. He sees, like, this guy, he's in, like, this black suit, and he has, like, this, like, red creepy mask on. And he, starts, like, beating him up, and I think he even, like, stabs him and stuff, and then he takes him to the car, and, Kingpin style puts his head inside the door. George M. just slammed the door shut on his head, and then, so, like, that's going on, Chuck the Champion, he's in the middle of a battle royale, and he starts seeing, like, ghost visions of his friend, like, out in the crowd and stuff, and then, you know, he starts, like, screaming and kind of goes mad, stops the whole match and stuff, and then, he's in the locker room, and the guy with the suit and the mask comes up, to him with a bag, and opens up the bag and pulls out the friend's all beat up, bloody head that got taken off by the car door. So just like a lot of driving, like dealing with like the madness of knowing like of the prophecy and you know of killing the previous champion and all that stuff. And now he's trying to kill his friend's kid because he knows like if they stop that prophecy from that long line of champions, that his prophecy won't come true and stuff like that. So, it's pretty fun. Flash. Because the last issue ended whenever Wally's son, Jay got his powers back for a little bit, he could see that his dad, Wally, needed help in Gem Ward. So with their powers, they were able to teleport to Gem Ward just in time to save their dad. And so Jay still has his powers, and Iris is the drugs wearing the sedative that the people who kidnapped them is wearing off, so she's getting her Speed Force back. And then we find out that this issue, that the girl that Iris has been hanging out with, who's been like kind of a bad influence on her, is actually Animal Man's daughter.
Oh, wow.
So, like, so she's helping because she has, like, you know, she has animal powers, too, like her dad, kind of. So,
what's her name? Is it Katie? Is it Katie? I can't remember.
Yeah, it's something like that, yeah. So they're, fighting, all the different people that are under control from Eclipso, and there's, like, this Gem Ward, bad guy that was helping them and then, like, turned on them, but they need his help again. I don't know his name. I don't know a lot about the Gem Ward characters and stuff like that. But, so basically this bad guy and the three kids, they all kind of fight in this league of different heroes and characters that are in Gem Ward to basically make a path for Wally to run through that has with this spiral that if he's able to get it to hit to hit with Eclipso, he'll get like trapped inside of it, which he's able to do, and then so everybody kind of goes back to normal and stuff like that, and they're talking, and Flash is able to do and then this is where it got kind of weird, because then after all that happened, the Flash is talking to the Spectre for like a page or two, and then the Spectre pretty much tells Wally that God like likes him, like he's like a fan of him, and like, you know, that's why like he because something happened that, you know, and it's like, well, you know, like that was kind of a miracle, and he's like, oh, well, you know, he likes you, so he's like, and stuff like that, which I thought was kind of weird. Through that, he's able to tell Wally that he was able to, because whenever Jay has his powers, that they like they physically hurt him, because they're not like a speed power, they're like he's able to like grow kind of not big, but like he has like strength, so like he'll get kind of super muscular for like a little kid and stuff like that, but like it physically hurts him, so he's able to. Well, he's able to do something, like, I don't know if it's some of the Speed Force or some of the energy, but it's supposed to, it seems like it made it so that he could have his powers now where it wouldn't hurt him and stuff like that. And then they're like, you know, one of the kids is like, oh, we're going to have to get home, Mom's going to be mad. And Wally's like, oh, then we'll be fine. Won't be mad. And then it cuts to her. She's, like, lying in bed, and because she's a news writer, but I guess she's been trying to write a novel. So she's in there trying to write a novel. She's having a lot of time. And so she goes to check on the kids. She looks in one room. The kid's not there. She looks in the other there. And she goes to go look outside. And since she's all panicky and she's kind of going kind of fast, the next thing she knows, she's out on the street. So now it looks like she has a bit of the Speed Force now. So that's how the issue ended. So I'm interested to see she's gonna be her own kind of superhero or not. Justice League.
I read that.
So this one was kind of different as to where they had like in the previous issues they had like the Justice League story, then the Justice League dark backup story. This one, they were kind of intertwined back and forth. Like, Zatanna and a couple other of the higher-up, like, magician people all get a vision of Black Adam, fighting, causing, like, you know, like, killing a whole bunch of people and stuff like that. So they're trying to get people together, to make sure, like, this thing, like, oh, you saw this too, and this person, well, we should probably try to talk to him, or alert the people in the Justice League. And, like, well, that's going on. The Justice League are having, like a picnic thing with, like, you know, crowds of people there and stuff like that. And then I can't.
They played a softball game.
No, it wasn't the X-Men. I can't really remember.
Flash was doing something, and I couldn't figure out what in the world he was doing. There was like all these blur lines around him.
Yeah, I can't. This was one of the first books I read last year, last week. So, but basically, I think it basically ended up to where like they showed up and like Black Adam gets a possessed by something.
Right, but Black Adam suddenly flies home after Aquaman like winks at him, or it was weird. And then he flies home and he's confronted by this ancient Lord of Chaos,
yeah,
who you've never heard of before. There's a lot of that going on. And the Lord of, he's like, you know, join me and I need your, or she, it's a girl. Hello, she looks like a guy when she's, shows her true self. But she basically needs, Black Adam's body because he has the strength and the wisdom and all that stuff. But Zatanna and,
Dr. Fate?
Was it Dr. Fate? But, because apparently it's a new Dr. Fate who I don't know who it is. And Madame Xanadu all have this vision of Black Adam laying waste to the Justice League, but his eyes are glowing. So, like, oh, he's possessed. And apparently, so then Dr. Fate is talking to Naboo, the Lord of Order, who's in his helmet, and basically says, we have to leave because we tried to put this person, this entity away, and apparently we didn't succeed. And if they get our powers as well, it'll be a disaster. So Lords of Order and Chaos leave, and it's like, you know, you need to figure it out. And that's kind of how it ends with Black Adam
Black Adam possessed.
The entity showing up and says, oh, and I have a new trick, and says Shazam, and all of a sudden, now it's Black Adam. So, but obviously, this is going to lead to the death of the Justice League. So,
at least if that's like the way it is, at least that seems like something that that could kill the Justice League. Like, if a cut loose Black Adam, like that could, like, I could see something that actually.
But it's not really Black Adam.
No,
But
that power said. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. After they all kind of regroup outside the home after being mostly burned down last issue by the punk frogs. April takes some of the ladies and some of the other kids to another person's house to sleep over and like spend the night there, and then so the Turtles and Casey Jones and them go and look out for trying to find the frogs, and they find them on their turf, and they start to have a fight. They start to get, a couple of them start to get beat up, Donnie and, I forget her name, the Fox character that's Raphael's, girlfriend, they fall off the side of this building, into another one, and then, the others leave and they regroup and they go and try to, find them. Donnie and the Fox character, they're searching through this building trying to find a way out, and they keep on seeing a whole bunch of like experiment things and stuff like that. They find this doctor who we see in a previous issue who is like does these like weird like cosmetic things to these mutated people to try to give them some of their like humanity back. So that should be pretty weird. I get a very Island and Dr. Moreau kind of like kind of weird vibe going off of that. But yeah, they said just kind of continue with that stuff, you know, still good total stuff. And then the last one I'll talk about is Amazing Spider-Man. Peter is not only is he doing like a really good job doing his physical therapy for the hospital, but he's also been out training with Black Cat and Captain America. But at this time, Cap's off war doing some Avenger thing, so it's just Black Cat. And then so whenever they're Black Cat and Peter's in his hospital room, and they see on the TV on the news that it goes about how the Bugle got attacked by a goblin. And stuff like that. So Peter wants to go to help, but Black Cat won't let him. He takes one of his web shooters and like webs him to the bed, like with a whole bunch of webbing to the bed. And it was like, well, if you are ready enough to come and break out of the webbing, then you can come and help. And then so Black Cat is going to fight the Queen Goblin. Which is good because just as she's getting ready to show up, she's getting ready to kill MJ, so she saves MJ, and then MJ gives her, like, you know, the rundown of how they were trying to have Ben's girlfriend give the viewer information about, you know, the stuff going on beyond, and how Ben just kind of showed up, took her, and left without fighting the Goblin Queen. The Black Cat goes up and tries to fight her, but she has, this new goblin has, like, almost kind of, like, the best way I could probably describe it is almost kind of like how the Ghost Rider has, like, that Penton stare kind of thing to whenever, like, she either looks at you, or she has, like, this mace, and you get hit with the mace, but then it's, like, it basically brings up, like, all your bad, like, thoughts and memories and stuff, and, like, it causes the Black Cat to jump off, like, step off, like, the side of this building, and she starts to fall off, and as she's getting close to hit, she gets webbed up. Peter's on top of the roof with his web shooters, and he catches her, which they do, like, a really cool, there's a really cool page of when Black Cat jumps off, and, like, she's crying, and, like, beads like go up in the air, and it gets broken up by Peter's web when he shoots it. And I thought it was like a pretty cool scene. So she saves her and stuff like that, and then he goes down to the on the ground where MJ and Black Cat are, and they give him his suit and his web shooters and stuff like that, and you know he's going off to fight her, and then they did this really cool line where I thought that it's pretty. Kind of sums up Spider-Man pretty good to where Black Cat's like, well, you know, you better make sure you're really prepared because this is nothing like, or make sure you're really, really ready because this is like no goblin you fought before. And Peter's like, that's the thing. I'm never ready. So then it cuts back to when Peter's still trying to struggle to get out of his bed being webbed in, and that's whenever Ben's girlfriend shows up with a knife and cuts him out of bed. So Peter's really not actually up to full strength. He would have been able to actually break out of the... So he's probably going to be in a pretty good fight for the next few issues. But that's all I read.
Okay. So the one I wanted to talk about first was Iron Fist number one. I read that.
I read that too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is going back to where Fantastic Four had the little notes of where something happened.
Mm-hmm.
This twice in the front text piece and again in the story mentioned that Iron Fist gave up his power to save the world or something, yet never referenced where that happened. And I'm like, when? Was it King in Black? Was it, I just found it weird that they didn't
explain.
It was in the heart of the dragon.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they could have put that.
No, they
could
have.
A little footnote.
That's where it was.
So, but, so Danny Rand is fighting some bad guys while talking with Luke Cage on the phone. And all of a sudden, somebody shows up. Well, the beginning I thought was funny because it has people training in Kunlun and looking at the egg and going, oh, we need you to hatch because, you know, we're unprotected. And, well, I guess we don't know when we're going to get a new protector. At that exact moment, the egg hatches. It was just like, okay, you could have had it happen later. You know, that was a little convenient. So somebody shows up and kind of helps Danny take out these bad guys. And then Danny chases him, and he just kind of gets away. And then it's revealed that the new Iron Fist is Swordmaster, who nobody read that book. And
so is that like, a new character?
It was a it was a very weird thing. I'm not sure exactly what Marvel was going for.
So they didn't technically make a new character. They just gave a
repurposed one that's not that old. But for a while there, Marvel started doing some Chinese characters, and I never understood what they were doing. But White Wolf, White Fox,
and he actually mentions in there that was his friend, and that was they were together.
Swordmaster, and these were written by and drawn by, I guess, Chinese people, and it very much felt like it was like a Chinese product that they were repackaging. I couldn't figure out what they were doing. They didn't sell well because, you know, are my really high Chinese clientele. And it was just really weird. And then they took over the Agents of Atlas. It was just, I never really understood. He's very comfortable with me there. I never quite understood. So that's where this character came from. He was doing something.
Oh, bless you.
And the Swordmaster shattered the sword that was one of his ancestors stole that was keeping a bad guy in place. Bless you. Wow. And he stole it and it shattered, and now he has to gather up all the pieces, some of which are embedded in his hands. Mm-hmm. And it was just, a lot of unclear things. It wasn't necessarily bad, it's weird that the new Iron Fist was something else already.
Well, the other part that I found odd, they weren't specific because he didn't kill the dragon. He didn't steal the dragon's heart. It was the dragon was somehow attracted to him because of the shards in his hands.
Right.
And I was like, so is it the shards in his hands that are giving him the power?
Yeah. I don't know. You haven't read Batman the Night, so we're going to table that one too.
No, you're
week.
Good, because that wasn't the one I thought it was.
Oh, okay.
I want to read the one with the power outage.
Okay, gotcha. Batman the Night's the Chip Zdarsky one.
Yes.
I read this one last week because I was shorted and I only had one for the shelf, so I'm like, let me read this before we run out. And I don't really remember any specifics about it other than it being really good. No, because
it's
Batman before he's Batman is basically what this story is. It's not like a year one story, but it's more like a Batman in high school story. Batman, like high school, college. Oh, no, now I remember. This is, he goes to Paris to try to find Henry Ducard, but he hasn't found him yet. But he finds this woman who's this great thief. She's an older lady who's a great thief, and she's teaching him.
What's she teaching him?
Well, yeah, it was getting to that point right at the end. But, like, they went in to steal something from this, you know, rich guy. He had some bad stuff. But then at the end, she's captured. He's shot. And she gets captured by this guy. And I don't know if it looked like it was Henry Ducard, but I don't know that it was. So, but yeah, that's where that went. But it was good. It was more, you know, like pre-year one almost. But it was good. Knighted number 4 from AWA. This book has been really good, where he is the guy who accidentally killed Batman.
Right.
And he's now having to fill his spot. And just lots of stuff going on with his girlfriend. He's having to sneak out. And there's this bad guy and all the robots.
And the Alfred totally hates the Batman character to begin with.
Right, but doesn't hate this guy, but hated the former one because he was a jerk. It's just been really good, and they're about to make this. The bad guys are planning to attack this race, and he has to stop them, but he keeps getting his butt stomped. But it's been very good. I read I want to say like 3 and 4 back to back, but that was good.
I'm behind on it. I think I'm on 2.
Okay, and it gives the backstory of the bad guy, and it was good. Okay, I'll save that for last. So I read back-to-back the X-Deaths of Wolverine 2 and the X-Lives of Wolverine 3.
Did it help at all?
No, not at all. I have literally no idea what's going on. In the deaths, you have a phalanx-infused Wolverine chasing Moira for some reason. And Moira cuts off her warlock arm.
As one does.
Right, and sears it with an iron and stuff, and then leaves a bomb, and Mystique comes up and finds her, and then the bomb blows up, and Destiny's like, oh, I told her that was going to happen. And then in the other one, where it's Omega Red going through time, and then at the very end, Wolverine's trying to protect Professor X, and the Omega Red goes into him. So I don't know what's going on in this.
It's just me, but I think it's weird that they're continuing this Moira and Mystique story in a book called
Wolverine. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely.
And there hasn't been an actual. This is taking place in the actual Wolverine book, is it?
No, this is a separate miniseries. But
I mean, haven't. Have they been putting out issues of this?
Not the Wolverine, and then it's going to continue with.
I say because I haven't seen it come up because I'm skipping this at least until it comes out in the trade.
Yeah, I am completely lost on this one. And then the last one I read, and huge kudos to James in Harrisburg. Animal Castle 3, this book is fantastic. Absolutely. The art is amazing. It's all animals, but just the expressions, it's fantastic. And I think it's a French book that's just being basically republished, and I guess it was relettered and everything. But it is fantastic where the rat is now teaching them to fight back against the bull and the dogs by humiliating them because they can't fight them with strength. So the first one they paint, Daisy is the name of the goose that they killed. That was a good friend of the cat, Mrs. B, or Miss B. And on the door to the storehouse where they have to bring all the stuff, all the food they have to forage and stuff, they paint a daisy. And that embarrasses the dog. And scrub that off. Get that out of here. And then the next day, they go and they painted a bunch of daisies on the wall. And that makes them even madder. Then on the cart that they pull the bull around in, they had painted a daisy on there. And that caused the bull to lose his mind. And the people were laughing. Oh, no. Then the bull goes down into this arena, and he's like, okay, I'll take on any comers. You know, I won't even have the dogs. You know, you guys think you're so tough. And the rat then dumps a basket, like from up high in a building so he couldn't be seen, a basket of leaves that all had a daisy painted on the leaves. Because at that point they were, like, watching the courtyard so nobody could paint in the courtyard. And dumps the leaves, and he, like, just lashes eyes, like, no more laughing. And they're like, what? How can you prevent us from laughing? You know, and just, it's just really taking a turn, you know, for the better for them. You know, just really humiliating these people in charge that they really can't fight against. So it's been really good. And like I said, the art is just amazing. But the other thing is I'm reading it, I'm like, oh my gosh, just after having, reading a Bendis book, it's like, wow, this issue would have been 6 Bendis issues. You know, there was a lot of story packed in, and it was really, it's been outstanding. Really, really outstanding. So that's all I read. I was enjoying myself this weekend, and it was a long,
weekend, and we took the dogs to the park and all sorts of fun stuff. So I didn't read as much as I meant to, but I also read a book. I know. I got to stop doing that. But, so, Patrick?
What's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay, we'll start with from Marvel. We're getting, you're not going to believe it, Spencer, Amazing Spider-Man 91.
So does it seem like when they relaunched it, are they keeping with the four, like the...
Well, because it's three and then a Beyond issue.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah. Like, are they still... Because I know, like, on the new one, they had, like, two
right.
issues. But I wasn't sure if that was just, like, to try to get out there, or if they're going to try to keep up with, like, the three or four times.
No, the reason they do that is so that we have to order one and two without seeing how number one sold. That's why they do that.
You are so cynical, Colin.
I am very cynical. We have Daredevil Woman Without Fear 3, Devil's Reign Spider-Man number 1, Devil's Reign X-Men number 2. We have Fantastic Four 41, so this is moving right along with the Reckoning War. Marvel Previews number 6, so if you came in today, I had the previews and the DC previews, but Marvel's coming next week.
Well, as I said to Tim, you had everything last month, so you couldn't really expect
it
to have
it. It was a perfect storm last month. We can't expect that. We have Strange number 1 spinning out of The Death of Doctor Strange. We have What If Miles Morales, and then X-Men number 9. DC, we're getting Batman. Batman Killing Time. Is that the Tom King one?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. Batman the Knight, I'm getting the rest of those copies. Dark Knights of Steel number 5 that I am absolutely loving. We're also getting Dark Knights of Steel The Gathering Storm, which is reprinting 1 through 3, which is good if you want to jump on. That's a good time to jump on because I think it's a $6 issue. $6 or $7 for three issues, but it's really good. Detective Comics, Justice League 73, so that they're pushing that one out quick. Justice League Incarnate number 5, so
that's the last issue of that.
So I'm wondering if that's also going to play into something going on with Dark Crisis. Poor Mike, I highlighted this for Mike, but Monkey Prince number 2 is next week, and no, I'm not reading it. We have Nice House on the Lake 7, so that's after the gap.
But what did come out this week that you're going to be read?
Aquaman, Green Arrow, jerks. Nice House on the Lake...
I don't think it's called Aquaman, Green Arrow, jerks.
No, it's not. But Nice House on the Lake 7, and we're also getting Nice House on the Lake Volume 1, which collects the first six issues. One Star Squadron number 4. And War for Earth 3, number 1. That's a crossover between a couple of books. That I don't... It's Flash and something else. I'm doing all these weird...
I think that has to do with, like, the CW shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, those the Earth Prime stuff.
Okay, I don't know.
Yeah.
And then from everybody else, we got Crossover 12. Dynamite Never Dies with covers A through X. Follow Me Into Darkness is the follow-up to You Promised Me Darkness. That's from Behemoth, I think. We have a new Jim Henson Storyteller, Shapeshifters, number 1. This is from Image, and this is funny. Don't cover your ears, Dave. I don't want you to hear about this book, but it's Loaded Bible, Blood of My Blood. And I remember when I opened... this book was out. I'm like, I can't carry this. And I ordered it, and it came in... UPS dropped that box, and I took it home and read it. It's really good, but Loaded Bible, basically, there's a city, and they build a dome because outside are vampires, and they realize that if they clone Jesus, he can fight the vampires, because if the vampires bite him, they'll die. So they clone Jesus to fight the vampires. And that's basically what the miniseries was. So
not a bad story.
No, it's Tim Seeley. You know, it's good creative. So this is a new, a follow-up, but I mean, follow-up 15 years later, but, I remember going, this, I can't carry this book, and then I read it, I'm like, that was actually really, really well done.
And all these years later, you carry, Only Begotten Son.
But that's Mark Russell. We have Radio Spaceman, I'm not sure what this is, other than this Dark Horse. Rogue Sun, I know, is spinning out of the, Radiant...
Black
world,
super,
and we just
super,
had the
super
yeah
massive.
Yep, we have Star Trek Discovery Adventures in the 32nd Century number 1, as well as a Star Trek Klingons one shot, and that's about it. So lots of stuff coming next week. Hopefully next week I'll have some news coming out of Comics Pro. We'll have here some good stuff coming down the pike, I hope. We'll all know tomorrow. I think that's about it. Book club is Friday. We're doing Saga Volume 1. And we're wrapping up this month of the Image graphic novels. So, if you have any questions, you can reach me. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Twitter, Facebook is Pittsburgh Comics. And Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So I think that's all we got. Dave, send us home.
That's a podcast.
Okay, we'll talk at you later. See ya.